Amen. Life doesn't even really begin until you meet God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for that song. Anybody got a word on their heart, anything before we preach this morning? Anything? I didn't open that up earlier, and I want to make sure I give you an opportunity to testify if God's done something in your life and you just want to praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4 this morning is where we'll start out at. Proverbs chapter 4. And when you find your place, I'll ask you to stand if you're physically able to and would like to, and stand one last time in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Read a few verses here and give you the message the Lord's put on our heart for this morning out of Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll start reading in verse number 1. It says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." So the way of life is through the commandments of God, the commandments of the Word of God. That's real life. That's what they just sung about. You don't know love. You don't know anything. And you don't even know what real living is until you've embraced the commandments and keep the commandments of the Word of God. It said, "Keep my commandments and live." Verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding." I'm going to end off there, and verse 7 will be kind of my text verse where we'll start this morning regarding this thing of wisdom and understanding. I'm going to preach to you the last in a series of messages regarding common sense. And that's what the wisdom and understanding that God gives really is. It is common sense. It's the only place to be found. And so, pray with us, Lord, to help us this morning. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning. I thank you for letting us be in your house and letting us assemble together one more time, Lord, as your people in the house of God. Lord, this place that we've set aside as a place of worship to come and to worship you and hear the Word of God taught and preached. And Lord, I thank you for the good fellowship we've had this morning. Thank you for the good Sunday school hour. Lord, I thank you for the singing that's been done, the praying that's been done, the giving that's been done. Lord, I just thank you for everything that's been done. It's been good thus far. And Lord, I ask now that as we've come to this time of preaching, Lord, I pray that you'd make preaching easy for us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would give us that special touch or that unction that it takes to preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would give liberty to preach. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, for everyone that's here this morning, that you would open our hearts, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We know that these things are not received by the natural man, but they are spiritually discerned. And so, Lord, we know that it takes the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, to open our hearts and our minds to receive the Word of God this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that it would be embraced and received with meekness and gladness. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your wisdom, with your understanding, and Lord, that you would use those things to draw us close to thee. Lord, I pray for that lost soul that might be here this morning, that some way, somehow, Lord, you'd take something we'd say and use it, Lord, to open their heart and their mind, Lord, to their lost condition. You'd put them under deep conviction. You'd convince them, Lord, of their need of a Savior, that they would be born again before it's too late for them this morning. Again, everything that's done, may it bring you honor and glory. for that the Father would be glorified, Jesus would be magnified. I pray that your people would be edified. May we see no man saves Jesus only this morning. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Preached, this would be the fifth and final message that I'll preach, I guess, in this little mini series or whatever, regarding common sense. And just going through and doing kind of a brief survey of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And it would do us all well to continually throughout our lives to make it a habit of reading the book of Proverbs. And a lot of people have done this, and I've mentioned this already, that you can go through 31 chapters in Proverbs. You could read a proverb a day, every day of the week. And you could do that from now to the day you die, and you'd get something new out of it every time. It'd bless you. Just mix that in with the rest of your Bible reading, with your prayer, and God will really bless it. God will use it, and God will help you, because that's what Proverbs is. It is a book of wisdom, a book of understanding, a book of knowledge, and all of those things, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge that comes from God and from His Word, really is what makes up the common sense of man. God created the world, created the universe, and so nobody knows how to run this thing best, better than Him. He knows. And so if we're going to be successful in life and know how to handle the troubles and the trials and the circumstances of life, we are going to have God's wisdom. We're going to have common sense. And common sense isn't what you get out on the streets after going around the block two or three times. That's what they talk about. There's some people out there, and they seem like we call them a jack of all trades. I'm thinking of one guy right now. It seems like some people just know at least a little bit about everything, And they'll say, well, I've been around the block a time or two. Well, that may give you some knowledge in a lot of worldly things, but in terms of really getting common sense, God's common sense, it doesn't come from going around the block a time or two. It comes from going through this book and letting this book go through you. Amen. It comes from the Lord. And so if we're going to know how to handle the issues of life, it's going to have to come from God. Going to have to come from this Bible. Amen. And as we've just kind of looked through, we've kind of hit some of the high points and brought out a few verses here and there. But I'm telling you could read this book and dig into this book and meditate upon the book of Proverbs, and it will really bless you. It will really, because here's the thing, the truths and the wisdom and the understanding that you'll gain from the book of Proverbs is true in everybody's life, saved and lost. Amen. Not everything is true. Not everything in the Bible is true in everybody's life. Did you know that? Not everything in the Bible not everything written to the church is true for Israel, and not everything written to Israel is true for the church. And not everything written about the lost man is true for the saved man. Not everything written for the saved man is true for the lost man. He said, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins," in Ephesians. But that's not true for lost people. It's only true for us that we're saved. But the book of Proverbs really is true for everybody. These are God's laws. Even a lost man could obey and heed what he reads in the book of Proverbs and would have a successful life. Have a good, successful life and handle. And that's why at one time, common sense, what we would look at as general common sense, abounded more in the American society than what it does this morning. Because at one time we had prayer and Bible reading in the public school system. At one time children were raised up and taught how to read using the Bible. At one time it was common for families to read the Bible. Even lost people, it was common for them to read the Bible together, and they knew the Word of God. The founding fathers of this country, all of them weren't saved, but they knew the Word of God, and they feared God, and they believed the Word of God. Amen. And so therefore common sense abounded, but it does not today. Not because of any reason other than we've departed and drifted from the things of God. Let me just tell you, the further you drift from the things of God, the less common sense you'll have too. Amen. And so the worse the decisions you'll make will be. Me and my wife were just laying in bed last night talking about different situations, marriages that we know, of people we know who are busted up. And people who have, you know, left their spouses and things that have happened, and you just can't help but just shake your head. And it's people that know better. Know better than to get themselves in the situations that they're in. People that were raised in church, raised under Bible preaching, people that know the Word of God, and they know better, but yet, since it never got in their heart, and since they won't pursue wisdom, and they don't love wisdom like Solomon said, and all those, boy, they'll do things the way they want to do. They'll do what they want to do. They'll go the direction they want to go, knowing what the Bible says, and get themselves in such a mess, such a wreck of a life. Not just spiritually, but physically. I mean, materially. They get their life into such a wreck simply by not obeying the Word of God. And so, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at common sense and the Word of God. Proverbs is where it comes from. And in verse number 7, he said, "With all thy getting, get understanding." He said, wisdom's the principal thing. So therefore, get wisdom. He said, with all thy getting, get understanding. That phrase, with all thy getting, actually comes from one Hebrew word. It comes from one word, that whole phrase does. And it literally means everything that is in you. One of the definitions of that word it comes from means the whole creature. The whole creature. So with your whole creature, with your entire being, with everything you've got, if it costs you your finances, if it costs you everything you own, if it costs you, no matter what it costs you, with all of your being, with all of your creature, he says, get understanding. With everything that is in you, get understanding. It is the important thing, and wisdom is the principal thing. So wisdom and understanding, we find in this verse, I said all that to say this, we find that wisdom and understanding, based on this verse and many other verses through the Bible, we find that they are something that can be obtained. They are not necessarily something that someone is just born with or born without. Something that someone is gifted with or gifted with or not gifted with. It is something that we all can obtain. Now, all of us may have more wisdom in certain areas than others. And some people may be more gifted at gaining wisdom and understanding. God may have blessed some more than others. But the fact is, there's nobody sitting here this morning that could not get down into the deep wells of God's wisdom and draw out from those wells for yourself and drink deep of the wisdom of God. It is something that can be obtained. Now, it is something that must be worked for and sacrificed for and applied yourself to get it. But if you want it, you can have it. You can have it. Amen. And one of the blessings, one of the things about wisdom and understanding, God's common sense, is that they make us more usable. They make us usable for God. Do you know that God cannot use a fool? Matter of fact, a fool cannot even be saved. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now that doesn't mean that only atheists are fools, because there are people that believe in one God that are fools too. But he's just saying that's one of the things that a fool will do. If someone claims there's no God, that person's a fool. But listen, a fool cannot even be saved. Because a fool doesn't believe. A fool doesn't believe God. A fool won't accept His Word. A fool is not sober-minded. A fool does not care about eternity. A fool does not care about the important things of life and the important things of God. They are caught up in menial, temporal, silly, foolish, stupid things. And that's all they care about. Amen. Now, all of us here that are saved, we may not be fools. However, we might be foolish in some areas. Probably all of us are. We're all probably at least a little foolish in some areas. That's why we have to always be seeking God and always in His Word. That way God can bless us with wisdom and understanding in the areas with which we are foolish. Amen. And by the way, it's different for everybody. I mean, all of us can look at our lives and say, yeah, I'm not real good. I'm not really good at handling this part of my life. I'm not really good at managing my finances. There's always people that are not good. They're foolish with their finances. That is a fact. Matter of fact, Jesus even said that. He said, you have the poor always with you. There's always going to be people that are foolish with their money. They don't have to be. They don't have to be. And if they would apply themselves, and if they would receive some instruction, and if they would apply to understanding and apply to wisdom, God could help them and would help them. But what I've found is that most people that are foolish in that area, they won't receive instruction. That's the way both all of us are. That's the tendency of all of us in the areas with which we're foolish, though. It's that pride that gets in the way. Someone may be foolish with their finances. Somebody may be foolish in their relationships, with their marriage, in their home life. They may be foolish in their parenting. May be foolish in many different things. There may be areas. Might not be an outright fool, but we might be a little foolish in some areas. And that's why this is good for us. It's because wisdom and understanding, they make us more usable. The more wisdom you get, the more understanding you have, the more available you are for God to use. Amen. It's just the fact that there are some people that never do anything for God till they get some of the foolish things out of their life that are in their life. Till they get rid of some of the foolishness that is in their life, that's going on in their life, they'll never do anything for God. Because God can't use someone that's foolish. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to be usable. I want God to be able to use me. And we ought to all strive to make ourselves more usable. Wisdom and understanding, they provide many blessings in our life. Matter of fact, I spent 2 weeks two separate messages going through all the list of all the blessings that wisdom and understanding give us in our life, from strengthening our home and helping our finances and helping our marriages. And I mean, all the things that blessing, I mean, it's like 12 different things I think I gave. That's not even an exhaustive list of all the things that they do to bless our life. But you know, the chief blessing of wisdom and understanding is that it provides things in our life that God can use. God can help us. You look at any man that God used throughout the Bible, it was always a man of wisdom and a man of understanding. Look at Daniel. Daniel was a man of deep wisdom and understanding. Look at the Apostle Paul. Wisdom and understanding. Peter and John and James. These were men. They were all men that had wisdom and understanding, common sense regarding the important things in life. They were never goofballs caught up with football. Isn't that amazing? That so many preachers today are caught up with the menial, temporal, goofy things in life, and they even talk about it from the pulpit while they're preaching, and yet you never see that in the Word of God. You never see the men of God in the Bible that are goofy and caught up with foolish things and devoted to foolish things in their life. They had wisdom and understanding. They were available. Look at Joseph. Joseph, from a very young age, was devoted to God and had wisdom and understanding, had a vision for his life and all those things. I'm saying they all were men of common sense, and God was able to use them. If you want to be used of God, do like Solomon said here, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Get wisdom. What I want to look at this morning is kind of the opposite of what I've preached in every other message in this. Preached on several different aspects, and I guess each message really could stand alone by itself, could just be preached by itself. But every other message we preached on the blessings and how to get wisdom and all these things, how to get common sense, the blessings of common sense, all those things. But I just want to look at the consequences of lacking common sense. What are the consequences? We know the blessings. We know how God will do. We know that it makes us available. And I know it makes us usable. And we know that it will bless our life and give us good homes and give us good families and make us good employees and help us to be successful, make us usable by God. All those things, we know all those things will happen. But I wonder, as we look to the Word of God, what would God say are the consequences of not having common sense? What does it look like whenever somebody lives their life, just willy-nilly and doesn't care about the serious things and just floats through life, not taking seriously the things of God and the Word of God and the commands of God? What does it look like when someone just floats through and cares nothing about really getting any real knowledge or wisdom or understanding, any common sense from God? What does that look like? Well, He does deal with it. Like all the blessings, this won't be an exhaustive list, but I do want to look at several verses here in the book of Proverbs on what happens to a person that lacks common sense. God's common sense. First of all, turn over to Proverbs chapter 11. Just like every other time, just keep your Bible handy because we're going to turn and look at several verses. I want you to read them all with me. You might want to write the references down because we want to let the Bible do the talking. Proverbs 11. Look in verse number 22. Proverbs 11, verse 22, it says, "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. I want to say the first thing that I see that is mentioned regarding someone lacking wisdom, what happens to the person that lives their life lacking God's common sense? First of all, we find disgraceful behavior. What's going to happen to you if you don't get wisdom? You don't get understanding? Well, I tell you what's going to happen to a lot of people. They're going to wind up with disgraceful behavior. You know, it makes me think about this, and I'll put it out there for you too, and I don't want you to name anybody for sure, but I'm sure we can probably all think of all the times. How many times have we seen people or seen somebody act just like an idiot because they lacked common sense? I mean, they just did really stupid things because they just simply lacked God's common sense. I mentioned us laying in bed talking about some of these things last night, and some of these homes and marriages are busted up by people that really know better, and things like, and their lives are just in such turmoil by people that really know better. And you look back and you say, why would you do that? What you're doing doesn't even make sense. And we've seen that probably a lot of times. We've probably all seen situations, people that we know, people that we don't know, where you sit back and you view and you think, man, why are you doing, you're doing such a disgraceful thing right now. The way you're behaving really is so disgraceful. And you know, the thing is, that behavior that lacks common sense, what it does is it brings shame and embarrassment on that person doing it. I'll tell you who else it does. It brings shame and embarrassment on those around them that love them and care about them and are connected to them. Let me just tell you, if you go out and you act stupid, and I hate to use that word because I know some parents don't like their kids to use that word. The other day, and this is just a side note, I'm running a rabbit here real quick, but the other day, we've got this dog, you know, and the dog drives me crazy. I'm just going to be honest with you. And the dog had done something, and I heard Gideon mumble under his breath. He said, "Stupid dog." And I know he's heard me say that. And so I thought, I better stop saying that. Not that it's a cuss word or anything, but I just don't want him running around saying, "stupid dog," you know what I'm saying? But anyways, I couldn't help it. Man, I died. That was so funny. Anyways, he said, "stupid dog." I know he's heard me kick the dog and say that, you know. Anyways, whenever you go out, or I go out, or any of us go out, and we do things that are disgraceful, things that are idiotic, things that are moronic, things that go against the wisdom of God, against the Word of God. You know what it does? It, whether you realize it or not. Now, they may all comment and praise what you're doing on social media. By the way, the devil will always have somebody there to praise what you're doing. And so they may, the world and every carnal church person out there may praise it. But I'm going to tell you, it brings disgrace and shame upon you. It also, however, brings disgrace and shame upon this church and everyone connected to it. Brings disgrace and brings this shame on your family. I mean, how many parents lay up at night and tears drop to their pillow thinking of the things that their children are out doing, the things that their family is out doing, and the shame and the embarrassment and the disgrace that it brings upon their family and their name, and there's really nothing they can do about it. Because what has happened is someone has gone out and they have not heeded wisdom, they've not heeded understanding, they've not applied God's common sense, and therefore they have indulged in disgraceful behavior, and has brought disgrace upon them, but as well as anyone else connected to them as well. You ever been out with somebody, like out on town or something, they just start doing, you know, they start doing something real just ridiculous, you know, and you're just embarrassed. You're thinking, man, I wish, you know, I wish they'd just stop. Please, I hope nobody knows that I'm here with you. You know what I'm saying? You ever been with that person in the restaurant or whatever, and you wish you were sitting at a different table because you don't want everybody to know that you're there with them. We've all been in that situation. Well, let me just tell you, that's what a lack in common sense does. It leads to disgraceful behavior. Notice here in the verse, it says a fair woman. It's a fair woman. That is a beautiful woman, a good-looking woman, if you will. That would be someone who has a lot going for them in a lot of areas of life, a lot available to them. But yet, she lacks discretion. And that's what discretion is wisdom and understanding and all those things. And I don't have time to go all deep into it, the differences and things, but just in general, that's really what it's talking about. And it says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. So the jewel of gold is very beautiful. But the beautiful jewel, the beautiful gold, is overcome by the whole pig. That's it. You don't really see the jewel. You don't see the beauty. You don't see the gold. You don't look at it and think, boy, what a beautiful jewel. No, you see, that thing's on a pig. You know? That's the way it is when a fair woman, the Bible says, does not have discretion. Oh, she might have a lot going for her. She might be beautiful. She might have a good family and a good background. But if she lacks God's common sense, it's like putting beauty on a pig and sending that pig out to wallow in the mud. Nobody sees the beauty. Nobody sees all the things that she's got going for her. Nobody sees the great, you know, the goodness that's there. Instead, they just see the pig. They see the muck and they see the mire and they see all the lack of discretion. They see the disgraceful behavior. See, the jewel is the fair woman. The pig is the disgraceful behavior, and that's what everybody sees is the pig. Amen. There are a lot of people who have had a lot going for them in their life. They've got a good background, got a good family, got a grown up in a good home, raised up in a good church, got a King James Bible in their hand. I mean, just on and on and on we could go of the people that have got all so much available to them with you know, they're I mean, it's just fair all that they have going for them in life, and yet because they don't apply themselves to wisdom and understanding, they go the way of the world and the world's wisdom. It's like putting a jewel of gold in the snout of a pig. And the disgraceful behavior takes over. Nobody, by the way, when something like that happens, nobody says, they've got a lot going for them. No, everybody says, well, they're really wrecking their life, aren't they? They only see the disgraceful behavior. Number two, let me hurry on. Not only disgraceful behavior when you lack common sense. Number two, you'll find destructive choices. Destructive choices. Turn back to chapter 7 in Proverbs, chapter 7. And I want to read several verses here, but just to get the context, we kind of have to get the whole picture in Proverbs chapter 7. If you'll look with me in verse number 7, it says, actually back up to verse 6, he says, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones," the simple ones, that's the ones that lack wisdom and understand, the ones that lack God's common sense, the simple ones. He said, "I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." So we're looking at someone who lacks God's common sense. It says that young man is passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Nothing good goes on in the black, dark night. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart." So by the way, there is a specific attire that does connect you to a harlot. There is a certain way. And so anyways, let me just move on from there before I get caught up. She, verse 11, "She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner." So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home, and he is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she causeth him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Leaning off reading there, let me just tell you, there is so much that could be preached out of those verses. And so, you know, it's hard to not get into a lot of it. But let me just say this. What you find in this passage is a destructive choice. You find a young man, the Bible says, is void of understanding. He is a simpleton. He is a simple-minded man. He has not applied himself to wisdom, applied himself to understanding. He does not fear God and the Word of God. He only cares about the here and the now. It's like Nike. Just do it, right? Whatever you feel like doing, just do it. That's the foolish mindset of this young man. And there's so many foolish decisions he made along the way. First of all, he chose to go out at night. That was a destructive decision. Amen? Listen, parents, don't let your kids run around all hours of the night. Nothing good goes on during the dark, late night. Amen? All the trouble I ever got into, what little I did, and I didn't get a lot of trouble. All the little trouble I did get into, it always happened in the wee hours of the night or the wee hours of the morning. Amen? You know, whenever most crimes, pretty much every crime takes place at night. You know, when people get in all kinds of messes, it happens at night. Amen. And so he goes out at night, and it's obvious he's looking for trouble because he goes by her corner. He goes where he knows she is. Amen. Doesn't the Bible say something about flee fornication? Flee fornication. That is, stay as far away from it as you can. Wisdom would have told this man, I'm not going out tonight. Amen. Wisdom would have told this man, I'm going to stay away from that wicked woman. And by the way, you ought to stay away from as far away from you can from every wicked woman. And you ought to stay away, you girls ought to stay as far away as you can from every wicked boy. Amen. Wisdom tells you that. But this guy doesn't have wisdom. He is void of wisdom and understanding. So he goes out at night. He goes by her corner. He starts talking to her and entertaining her and listening to the things that she's saying. All these things. The Bible says with her lips, she forced him. I mean, just on and on she goes. He's flirting with sin is what's going on here. And he's getting too close to it. And so he makes a destructive choice, one after another. And then he makes the final destructive choice to go with her and to follow her. The Bible says it is as an ox to the slaughter. He does not realize that this is going to cost him his life. And anybody that's ever gone the way this young man has gone, would, if they'd be honest, they'd probably tell you the same thing, that it cost them their life. Maybe not physically. Maybe they didn't physically die right then, but it's cost many a man, many a woman, their whole life. I've seen them where they've got good homes, good families, a spouse that loves them, good children, and out of nowhere they'll do something, like they'll make a foolish choice, a destructive choice, and it costs them everything. Cost them their home, cost them their marriage, cost them their family, cost them their job, cost them their living, cost them their house, cost them their car, cost them everything. Now, I'm here to tell you, when you lack common sense, you will make destructive choices. You will intentionally, knowing that you're choosing to do things that the preacher said not do, and that the Bible said not do, and that mom and dad said not do, but you'll do them anyways, and it will cause destruction in your life. It never, by the way, the devil never really wants good things for you. That's all a facade. That's all the things that the devil lets you get away with in the dark. That's only a setup. You realize that. The things that people do in the dark that they think nobody knows about and the devil lets them get away with it for a while. Listen, he's not doing that so you get to enjoy it. He's not doing that so you get to have your fun, have your sin in the dark, and do the things that the preacher says not do and enjoy what nobody else can enjoy. Hey, he's not doing that for your good. No, that's a setup. He's doing it and he's got this dark room built, and what it is, it's a big trap. And he's letting you do your sin in that room just for the sheer sake that whenever he lets it go on long enough, he can finally jerk the cover off of it and expose it to the whole world and let the light in, let everybody see it. That's the only reason. He doesn't do it for our good and our enjoyment. He does it so he can lower the boom and destroy us down the road and make a big example of you. Destructive choices. I've got to hurry. Number three, what happens to a person lacking common sense? Well, it brings about discipline, condemnation, or punishment in their life. Look in chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10. Look in verse number 13. Look at what he says here. He says, "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." Now, I think all of us have seen these goofballs that go out and commit crimes, and then whenever the police come to arrest them, whether it's a big offense or a little offense, they try to run, they try to fight, and they get beat nearly half to death by the police. You don't know what does that? Foolishness. I mean, how many times have we seen, you ever watch these cop shows or whatever, and the guy gets pulled over for a speeding ticket, and instead of just taking the ticket, he wants to fight and argue and make a big deal. And we see that stuff go around on the news all the time. They make a big deal of that stuff. And instead of just taking the ticket and being respectful, they want to fight and they want to argue and they want to make a big deal. And they wind up getting beat nearly half to death when getting arrested. Well, it's not the police officer's fault. Let me just go ahead and tell you. It's their own foolishness. Their foolishness. And that is what is brought into the life of somebody who lacks common sense. It will bring out needless discipline and condemnation and punishment. Which, by the way, you read the Bible, I find that it seems like the only thing to remedy a fool is the rod. Foolishness is bound at the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Listen, you can't reason with a fool. And you can't find them enough. You can't find them enough money to get them to turn around. Seems to me that the only biblical way is the rod. I mean, somebody maybe can help me with that, but I'm just saying that's what I've seen in the Bible. But what it nonsense leads to problems and punishments, most of which are avoidable. When you lack common sense, at the end of the day, you just bring about things in your life that really are needless. They really don't have to be as bad as they are, but people just make them worse. The fool does. Number four, despising neighbors is a result of lacking common sense. Despising your neighbor. Look in chapter 11. Look in verse number 12. It says, "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor." He that is void of wisdom, he despiseth the neighbor. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. So when someone lacks understanding, what they do is they're always winding up in some type of dispute and holding their neighbor in contempt. Now that's not necessarily the neighbor living next door to you. That's one of your neighbors. But your neighbor is anybody you know. It's your husband. It's your wife. It's your children. It's your friends. It's your coworker. It's your next door neighbor. It's the guy across the street. It's the cashier at the store. It's whatever. It's anybody you come in contact. That person is your neighbor. They are your neighbor. And the fool, or the one that lacks common sense, will despise their neighbor. They'll always be in some type of contention with their neighbor. Always find some reason to disrespect their neighbor. Amen. One of the worst things you can do is to needlessly go to battle with your neighbor. But that's one of the things that someone lacking common sense will do. By the way, even those of us that aren't outright fools, all these things could be a little foolish area of our life. You see what I'm saying? It may not be all these may not apply to you, but some or one of them may too, or one of these may too. You ever met somebody that's just a contentious person? Just always contentious, always causing problems. We call it drama. The drama queen. The drama king. And by the way, the people that seem to cause the most drama in their life and for themselves are always the ones talking the loudest about how much they hate drama. Y'all ever notice that? I just hate drama all the time, and I just hate being around drama and all that. But they're the ones that always cause the most drama for themselves. They're the seed of it. They're the root of it. You know what? That is foolish. That shows you foolishness on the inside. Helps you understand, because lacking common sense will do that. You know, your family, I don't care how much turmoil and drama is in like your extended family, like whether it be at your parents or on both sides, aunt and uncles, cousins, it doesn't matter really what you're born into and what all turmoil is going on in your family. Once you're married and got your own family, your own home, your own children, you know, you don't have to be caught up in any of that stuff. And if you've got wisdom and understanding, you won't be. I think the Lord, it's nothing I've done, but I think the Lord that God has given myself and my wife the desire and enough wisdom. We're not wise in everything, but we've given us enough wisdom in this area to stay out of the turmoil and the drama and the things that go on within family and with friends and everything. Because some people want to be right in the middle of all that, and all it does is cause them problems. I don't want that junk, man. I want peace in my home, peace in my life. I got enough battles to fight without all that stuff. Amen. But lacking common sense, they'll cause you to despise. You know, despise means to disrespect, means to hold in contempt, means to have the lowest opinion of. Now, all you do is invite problems for yourself for years to come when you despise your neighbor. Man, you'll start fights, and that's one of the problems with social media. People start fights and get in debates and all that stuff, and what they wind up doing is burning bridges and causing problems and breaking connections and closing doors with people for years. Wrecking opportunities that they'll never have years from now. When I was young and stupid, I did that stuff. Then you realize, you know, some things they're just not really worth arguing over. Most things are not even worth debating over. Amen. But lacking common sense, God's common sense will do that. Number five, lacking common sense will cause a man to delight in folly. Proverbs chapter 15, I'm just going to give you these. Proverbs 15, verse 21, it says, "Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly." And then in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 2, it says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." I don't have time to go into all this, but folly, that word folly, means weakness of intellect or silliness. That's what folly is. It's just silliness, frivolous, silly things. And someone who lacks common sense, God's common sense will do is they will delight in that. They will delight in folly, delight in silliness. They find their delight in silly, stupid stuff. They get their kicks in corruption and harm that comes to others and things that are counterproductive. That's what they enjoy in life. They do. They feed off that stuff. It's the person that enjoys going out and graffitiing a building. It's the kid that likes to go out at night and knock mailboxes off with a baseball bat and bust out windows and just doing anything that is just silly and counterproductive. They delight. It'll cause delight in that. Number six, and last of all, lacking common sense, it'll cause disgraceful behavior, destructive choices, discipline, condemnation, or punishment. Despising your neighbor, delight in folly. Last of all, death. Lacking God's common sense will literally cause death at some point, according to the Bible. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21. I've got two verses for you and we're going to close. Proverbs 10, verse 21. It says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." Want of wisdom means lack of wisdom. Proverbs 21, verse number 16. It says, "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." That's why a lot of young people that leave the church wind up in the wrong crowd. That's what it said right there. They're in the congregation of the dead. They've wandered from out of the way of understanding. They were under Bible preacher, and they were under someone, people trying to give them understanding, but they wandered from the way of understanding. The Bible says they will always wind up in the congregation of the dead, and they'll remain there. And so these are things that cause a person to, that happens to a person that lacking. Mind you, this morning, I'm coming to a close. You don't have to lack common sense in any area of life. I don't and you don't. We don't have to lack wisdom and understanding. God's Word is a treasure chest of God's wisdom and common sense that He's given to us that we might get it. So what we ought to do is get in His Word, study it, put it into practice. Use the great truths that are within God's Word. Get some common sense from God. I don't know what God may have said to your heart this morning. It might not be that you're an outright fool, but God may have put His finger on some spot in your life, some spot in your heart, and said, "You're kind of a little foolish in this area and you need some help here." You may need to come and pray and ask God to help you with some areas where maybe you've had some foolish decisions and done some foolish things, and pray God'll help you with these things. I don't know what God's done for you. You may need to pray for somebody, maybe somebody in your family, somebody in your home who's just doing very foolish things. Pray God will touch their heart. I don't know what God's done, but I would to God we'd all respond the way He'd have us to respond this morning. Let's all stand to our feet. Brother Ernest is going to get us a song ready. We're going to sing number 384. If you want to get your song book, I'm going to pray and we're going to sing, and you altar certainly open. You can come pray. Lord, I come before Your throne of grace. Thank You for helping us with the message. I pray that You'll take it and use it this morning. Help us, Lord, to have wisdom and understanding and Your common sense. I pray that You'd help us all to respond the way You'd have us to respond. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.